time I'd like to turn to the chairman of the committee, Senator Josephson. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. This is Senator Joe Josephson, the chairperson for this committee, and a quorum in Juneau is present with the attendance here of Senator Happy Moss of Delta Junction and Senator Rick Hofford of Chugiak Eagle River. This hearing was requested by Senator Betty Farenkamp, who is herself at this very moment chairing the meeting of the Senate Resources Committee. She has given me a memorandum in which she has requested the hearing and enclosed comments from people in Fairbanks concerning these bills, which deal with mental health. And Senator Farenkamp's position is that after the hearing is completed, she would like to work with us to develop a possible human substitute that reflects accurately the interests of the public to be served, the mental health providers, the community hospital in Fairbanks, and all others, according to Senator Farenkamp, who are interested in providing the best possible mix of services for the mentally ill. We also have in our folders a report from NARA outlining the basic concerns in the interior for service needs, coordination with existing services, and the populations to be served. And a letter from the FAMI group, Andelardo, concerning its desire to provide a continuum of care for the chronic and mentally ill, which would include supervised housing, day activities, medical care, crisis intervention, and a social network. The FAMI group, as I understand it, also supports the proposal from the Fairbanks Hospital to build and operate facilities for adults, children, and adolescents. Space would be leased to nonprofit corporations who in turn would provide the care, and that care would be coordinated by the hospital. The adult program and service is estimated to cost approximately $16.5 million, child and adolescent programs in excess of $13 million, and in our file we have the information concerning what facilities or bed space would be furnished by those appropriations if they are made. It's also indicated that at the operational level, the adult services might be self-supporting, but children's services would need an ongoing state subsidy for operational costs. I'm advised that there may be numerous witnesses to be heard, and I have a list of the first 8 people to be heard from the Fairbanks. I would ask witnesses to try to confine your testimony, if possible, to a 5-minute limitation and not to be redundant testimony given by others. Senator Farenkamp's request, I'm going to first ask Dr. Tom Neiman of the Hospital Foundation to come forward and testify. Now, are you there? You can proceed.
Is that in Fairbanks?
Fairbanks teleconference.
You read us.
It's
Tom Murray.
Thank you, Linda.
My name is Tom Minson. I'd like to correct the record. I'm not a physician or a doctor in any way. I'm just a hospital administrator. I'm testifying not only on behalf of the hospital today, but on behalf of the Greater Fairbanks Community Hospital Foundation, a community-based group of citizens who, in 1969, formed a nonprofit corporation for the development of public health care needs for interior and the Fairbanks area. They are primarily known for the operation of Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, but have also recently got into the long-term care business through their purchase of the old Carries North, the long-term care facility in the community, now known as the Nally Center. First, I would like to thank you as a committee for giving me an opportunity to testify today on the bills that are before your committee. I think that one thing that probably, regardless of who testifies today, will not disagree with, and that is the dramatic need for addressing mental health services in the interior of Alaska. That one item has been on the hospital's long-range plan since 1978, when long-range planning at the hospital first began. It continues to be there, not only in the form of acute hospital inpatient mental health services, but also in terms of outpatient and the coordination of other mental health services in the community. I think we as the Hospital Foundation also believe that historically there has been some good deal lacking in terms of the providing of mental health services in the state as a whole through the administration of Alaska Psychiatric Institute. We believe that has not been administered in a non-political way to the point where it has not affected patients' care. Several years ago, the state of Alaska, in a position paper, determined that the provision of mental health services in Alaska should be diversified and that patients, if at all possible, should be treated in their own community. However, even though that was a policy statement developed by the group, they never in any way formulated or instituted that belief. And still, the only true treatment facility in the state is Alaska Psychiatric Institute. There is provision for designating community hospitals throughout the state for the provision of mental health services, but no community hospital has been designated as of yet. The Hospital Foundation has submitted a proposal for the provision of not only acute, chronic, and outpatient, and family-centered services for the provision of mental health care, because we believe that we are one group in Fairbanks that has a community base whereby anyone that donates $10 a year towards the foundation is a member and has a vote in the say of how the foundation is conducted. But we do believe that we've got an administrative background and the ability to pull our resources together to provide the facility that is needed through the planning of all interested parties in the interior for the implementation of mental health care at our local level. We just feel that there is a lot of planning yet to be done, and in no way is that process complete, or I don't believe anyone, at least from Fairbanks, believes that we've got an exact picture of the exact needs that we have to have. But through the planning process, we believe that we can develop a facility that will meet the needs of the community. We also believe that up to now, Fairbanks Hospital and the Valley Center have been caring for the acute and chronic mental health patients in the interior. In our last certificate of need for Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, we addressed mental health by designating a floor. We have since modified that certificate of need and have yet to receive funding for that through the state of Alaska. Our original certificate of need totaled $26 million. As most of you know, we did receive $20 million from the state of Alaska. The funding for the mental health floor has yet to be received, and we believe that the possibility of combining that mental health wing along with the patients that are located at the Nellis Center, along with other mental health services in the interior, and providing office space and coordination for other facilities and other organizations in order to enhance mental health services in the interior. We believe in conclusion that it's going to take a strong community effort on everyone's part to come up with exactly the facility that we need. We believe that we've got a start on this, but it's going to only be done through the foundation, normally planning committees, determining and input from all of the agencies in the community to develop such a center. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Benjamin. I'll see if there are any questions of you. If not, we appreciate your coming. In Juneau, Dr. Ripo, were you here to testify on behalf of the department?
Mr. Peel, myself.
All right. Gentlemen, would you like to come forward so that the group and our teleconference can hear your remarks?
I'm Dr. Bowen. I represent the Department of Health and Social Services in Liberty.
I'm John Peter, also from the Department of Health and Social Services.
And we would like to testify jointly as to House Bill by appointing. And that is that there are really three different aspects to the bill. And the first one is that it is written is that there needs to be a residential facility for chronically mentally ill adults, and that we need a facility. We need a facility for acute psychiatric care for children and for adolescents, and also for those that are chronically ill. And the third type of facility that is needed, Commissioner Pugh will address.
Well, I think historically in Alaska, we've had a difficulty in the sense of having a number of children who, despite needing residential care, cannot be treated in facilities that are presently operating in Alaska. And I think in Mr. Hospital Association from Fairbanks had mentioned in 79 there were about 100 children outside the state. Presently, just from the Department of Health and Social Services, there are approximately 23 children who are outside the state because residential care facilities in the state have either tried to handle these children and the emotional disturbance was too severe and they were unable to handle the treatment of these children, or because of the past history of the children, the facilities refuse to admit these children and have to be sent to facilities outside the state of Alaska. So there's definitely a need for a residential treatment facility for severely emotionally disturbed children in the state of Alaska. That does not necessarily mean that all children that would be admitted there would be coming from the interior region. Our, the numbers of children that we have outside the state reflect the needs throughout the entire state of Alaska, not just the interior region. Also here today, who's not testifying with us, is Bill Mulman from Education, and the Education Department also has a number of children outside the state who are severely emotionally disturbed, and certainly Mr. Mulman can speak to the need for residential care for adolescents. So the department is in support of the concept of having a facility that would in fact, a residential facility that would in fact handle adolescents who are severely emotionally disturbed.
Yes. And let me add the point that there has to be separation, has to be complete separation between the adult residential facility and the house chronically mentally ill and the facility for children and adolescents. What we're really saying is we're envisioning a 40-bed psychiatric hospital for the treatment of the acutely ill children and adolescents and a 40 to 50 bed residential facility, which would basically be an educational facility for specifically designed for the treatment of children with these severe mental disturbances. The residential facility for the adults would be 33 beds. So this would give you, adding up the three of them, 33, 40, and 40. Or 113 beds, which should take care of some of the more severe problems that exist, not only bringing children back from outside, but also to reduce the number of chronically mentally ill adults that keep going through ATI on a revolving door basis. They need assistance, they need more than at-home care, but yet at the same time they do not need institutional care, and this would be handled by the residential facility for the adults. There are two things that we would like to mention. One is that it's necessary to reduce the standard for involuntary outpatient commitments, and also that the statute 4730690 to allow parents and guardians to voluntarily hospitalize children and adolescents for periods in excess of 21 days is absolutely needed. Mr. Pugh, you want to speak further to that?
I think that we do have a situation in which the present law, which only allows a 21-day commitment, is very detrimental in the long-term treatment of these children. And I think from that standpoint, I think there is a bill that has gone before the Senate, and certainly is one that we need to have in the long term in order to make a residential facility or a children's psychiatric facility one in which it will be successful treatment. Present law is too restrictive in dealing with it, the children who are voluntarily committed at this point.
Commissioner, I agree, and I would like to ask everyone in the teleconference who shares that view, your view and my view, to communicate that to the members of the House from your district. We passed Senate Bill 346 after a considerable fight about it. Bill is in the Judiciary Committee substitute form, accepted on the floor. We did amend the bill to provide for guardians ad litem for children who are admitted as other involuntary patients. And in the appropriate case, the guardian ad litem could ask for a hearing within a 30-day period, but there would not be the mandatory 72-hour hearing that some people wanted. I think that's a fair compromise. We also changed the definition of greatly disabled on other terms in the statute that created these difficulties. And I might tell you that Senator Perrincamp and Senator Bennett were very helpful in securing the path of that legislation. So I hope that now that the bill is in the House and has the government's support, that the people listening to this teleconference will let Fairbanks and Bennett know their concern, because we're not sure what will happen to them. We also have a capital appropriation pending for the children's facility in Anchorage, as I understand. So all of these beds would be in addition to that.
Well, it was thought that they would be probably in lieu of the Anchorage one that was kind of baffled.
Would that involve sending children from Anchorage to Fairbanks?
Well, if this came about, quite frankly, candidly, I imagine by the time we get one built, the other one will be needed to be built. It is planned, as you know, as a separate facility on the grounds of APR, not connected to West Secretary of State.
I think that's fine, but I've heard so many complaints from Fairbanks parents who didn't want their children to go to Anchorage that I don't want to set up a reverse choice here where my own constituents will complain that their children might be going to Fairbanks. Family support, I suppose, is important. Are there other questions of Commissioner Pugh or Dr. Senator Moss?
Yeah, I was just wondering, how felt the cell phone being anticipated in the Fairbanks area will be under basically on the same roof as the present Fairbanks Memorial Hospital area, or will it be separate
from it? What we envisioned would be a completely separate facility. It would be, Senator Perrincamp said that the borough, the city has good deal of radiance adjacent to the Covey Hospital, and that this would be some of the logical grounds that we use for this.
Okay, the final thing I'd like to ask you about before we get into this, we have 113 beds we're talking to. Is that going to be adequate in the future? Because apparently we already got 130 young people outside, and probably more than that if you count some adults. Are there adults outside also that should be in the program?
No. No, this will take care of children and adolescents. It will not take care of those outside. It will also take care for the immediate future for those within the state.
In other words, how far into the future will 113 beds serve in the interior from this program?
Well, I'd like to defer my answer, but I would assume that it's probably good for the decade. You must remember that the somewhat similar residential type facility isn't stopped in Anchorage and is planned for other parts of the state. So we're really only talking about the interior for the adult chronically ill. Now, for the children and the adolescents, part of that is a direct function of population growth. Population of the state continues to grow at the rate that it has in the last few years. I would say that you've got less than a decade before you're going to be running out of space.
Well, the reason I asked the question is because the comment was that by the time we get one ready, we're going to have to have another going down in the Anchorage. That's all I hear right now.
Okay. Mr. Chairman. I might say to our teleconference that we have many guests here who are part of the Operation Close-Up. There are many young people from around the state. And for your information, those of you who just entered the room, this is the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services, as you know, I hope, in case you all wanted to be somewhere else. And we are talking about a proposed mental health facility in the Fairbanks area for the treatment of children, adolescents, and adults. And we have a teleconference up up to the interior so that people in the interior communities can participate and talk to their legislators through the mechanism of the telephone hookup. And the witness before us is Dr. Rebo, who is with the State Department of Health and Social Services, and Deputy Commissioner John Pugh. Are there other questions or comments? No, thank you, gentlemen. We have Bill Molnix from the Department of Education who would like to testify in Jim. Bill.
Thank you. Just want to add my comments to Commissioner Peter, Dr. Rebo. Present time, just to clarify, the Department of Education presently has 28 students placed out of state that are described as emotionally disturbed. We have three more pending, which will bring us by the end of May to 31 students out of state. We have them placed from everywhere from Montana to Colorado to California and back, depending on what kind of facilities we can find that will accept. At the present time, to date, we have expended $650,000 in keeping these 28 students on an out-of-state placement. So we feel that it's imperative that we start bringing these students back into the state. We have a facility in which we can care for them and educate them. And our main concern, being in education, is that we enter into this along with Health and Social Services to design an educational program to benefit these students.
Now, does the treatment of a child out of state have special problems in terms of community support, family support, and the effectiveness of the treatment?
Yes, it does.
And the cost, where are these children located? They are all over the country?
Just a second. We have six from Anchorage that are placed in Devereaux, Brown School in San Monica, California, or the Brown School in Texas, or the Yellowstone Boys Ranch in Billings, Montana. We have two from Fairbanks placed in these same facilities. We have one out of Galena that's placed in facility in California called Muckleshoot. We have some out of Juneau in St. Mary's in the Beaverton School District in Beaverton, Oregon. Two out of Kenai in Yellowstone. We have students out of Ketchikan, Matsu, Pelican, and Northwest Arctic, Skagway, and Yukon Click. So we have students from all over the state. And we utilize these, primarily these same facilities for all of our students. Costs an average of about $23,000 to educate a student out of state, and it will range from a low of $6,000 to a high at the Brown School in Texas of $92,600 a year for each student.
Senator Moss?
What's the age bracket on these students, and who determines which students go out to
We receive our referrals from the school district that come into the State Department. School districts come to us and say, we cannot provide an educational program for this student because of the unique handicapping condition of that student. And we make a determination that the State Department, is this a student that should be transferred? And if we come to that agreement, it usually comes through my office as State Director of Special Education, then we make arrangements in conjunction with the family, the school district, to transfer the student.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Collins. We'll revert to hearing the witnesses from out of town. And I will ask if Sherry McWhorter is present from the Northern Alaska Health Resource Association.
Over the past several years, DARA has had behavioral health services as one of its priorities. Our efforts have been directed towards both mental health and alcoholism services. It's our philosophy in all this planning and service consideration that all services should be delivered in the least restrictive environment possible for the individual client and as close to his home as is feasible. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to speak to the two bills, 525-21. This is the first time in my memory that Fairfax County has had such an exciting opportunity to address the needs of our mentally ill citizens. Senator Fanchep in particular is to be commended for her efforts. I'd like to clarify one point in that the material that was sent down to you with the NARA litigant cover letter was not NARA's proposal. There were 12 agencies involved in addition to NARA, and it has not received board action from any of those agencies. This represents some working papers that we put together at the request of Senator Fanchep's staff. You will note in that material a listing of several concerns that were voiced by the service providers. Everyone who has been involved has expressed appreciation for the commitment to the last citizens shown by these bills. We're very eager to see mental health service development in the voting region. Our concerns at this point are to ensure that the funds are spent in the most appropriate ways. In terms of SB 520 itself, we would like to see the bill adopted much as it was drafted. The findings in Section 1 are certainly correct. Section 2, however, we would like to see the wording changed to delete references to a state-run facility. While we feel it's quite appropriate for the Department of Health and Social Services to play a role in services and vision, terms of licensure, and other kinds of matters, it is not desirable from our point of view to have another state institution. The remainder of the bill appears to be very appropriate and should be adequate. The issue which concerns us both is the haste with which information is said to be collected to address this bill. Mental health treatment, especially for children and youth, is an exceedingly complex matter, as you're all aware. For Fairbanks and the northern region, to have the kinds of facilities which are in the best interest of all citizens, there needs to be a substantial planning period. One of the most important aspects of that planning period is that all human services providers, families of the mentally ill, and other concerned parties be involved with the plan. This is the only way that the most comprehensive continuum of services can be developed, which will tie all the providers together with mutual commitment. The outcome of such a process would be not only the best possible treatment center, but also the treatment center with the most and strongest local support. We would then estimate that favorably upon SB 520, with the provision added that no construction begin until an in-depth planning process, including all affected parties and considering various treatment modalities, shall have occurred. We suggest that a specific amount of money be set aside for this planning process, including architectural drawings and that kind of thing, and that construction not be expected to begin until at least the 1985 building season. This way, everyone's concerns and expertise will be melded to ensure the highest quality and most effective services. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your appearance, and I also would urge you to follow legislation we are sponsoring in the Senate to utilize the three health resources agencies in the social service planning area as well with additional financial increments. That's Senator 484. Is Kay Corey Baker available to testify?
She's approaching the mic.
Moderator in Juneau, we're not hearing anything from Fairfax.
Okay, I'll rearrange the mic just one more.
Thank you. That's a long one. Sorry, I didn't hear something. Just kind of watching the screen. While we're waiting, how many of you?
Can you hear from this microphone?
While we're here, can you see if you are from the Anchorage area? Anybody? How many of you are from Southeastern Alaska? Please stand by for this. How many of you are here from the interior? How many of you are here from the north? Barrow, Nome, anybody? The chain, the Aleutian chain? All right. These people we're talking to, most of these people are in Fairbanks. The senator would like you to go ahead and have the next person, please.
I'm Kay Clay Baker. I'm a Latin resident of the Fairbanks area, and I'm supporting Senate Bill 520 and 521 to establish the mental health treatment and rehabilitation center for the chronic and mentally ill citizens in the Fairbanks area and state. I serve as senior citizen advisory board member for the city of Fairbanks and Marshall Borough, and also in the support of the Fairbanks Alliance for the Mentally Ill, Chronic and Mentally Ill. I realize definitely that mental illness is no respecter of age, sex, creed, or it isn't brought about by choice. And my experience as a family victim has been painful and costly. But as long as God gives me strength to work with people who need my help, I shall continue to do so. We appreciate anything that can be done for the chronic and mentally ill.
Does that conclude your statement, Mrs. Baker?
Yes, it does, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I understand that Marcia Schneider of the Alaska Chapter of National Association of Social Workers is in Fairbanks to testify. We will hear from her now if she's ready to proceed.
Hi.
How did we miss that last communication, Tom?
Marcia has decided not to speak, so could you please take our next speaker?
Thank you. Norma Larson.
She's coming to the mic. My name is Norma Larson. I've lived in the Fairbanks area for a long time and was first a nurse in a hospital situation and then a special education teacher for 20 years. I have had considerable experience with people who needed psychiatric help both in the hospital and in the school, and have seen many of the children I worked with sent either to API or to schools in the lower 48, and cannot speak strongly enough for the need of a facility in the interior in our home area, even though it means that children will have to come from away from their home, at least it will be in Alaska, but they have to come from the north and from the rural areas. It's a little closer to home and there's a little bit more support, I'm sure, that would be helpful in coordinating not only the programs that would be here and available to them in the various areas, but in the personnel that they would be working with when they hopefully could return home at a future date, at least some of them. I don't represent any particular group, but I stand for a lot of years of observation and really speak strongly in behalf of the need for this facility. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Larson, for being with us today. I understand that in Anderson, there is a witness ready to testify, and I'd like to give Anderson a chance at this time.
Thanks. My name is Sarah Spicer. I'm on the board of directors for the Fairbanks Community Mental Health Association, and I represent the Railbelt area. We have people in the Valley of Healing also who represent the Railbelt area. We are very interested in trying to figure this money as appropriated in the interior, where thank you very much for the opportunity to speak, testify, and hope that this goes through because it is the answer to our drainage issue. Find if something here to really help our area. Thank you.
For the benefit of those in Fairbanks who might like to have a little colloquy about what is on our mind, let me just interject a couple of thoughts, and it may be that a few witnesses downstream will want to rebut these concerns or put my mind at ease. I think that there is a strong disposition we have to try to be helpful and to recognize mental health problems in the Fairbanks community and to support the idea of community-based mental health facilities, as opposed to one large facility in Anchorage that is a model dragging people in from all over the state. At the same time, there is the issue in my mind about a $30 million appropriation to a nonprofit organization which does not really exist or have a proven track record. The questions arise as to what happens if the level of service or quality of service don't meet expectations. And the second question is, how do we know that that a private nonprofit facility will not exercise the private company's right to refuse treatment to people whom the state are required to serve, whom the state is required to serve, with resultant pressures on API and possibly adverse effects on the API caseload or the Anchorage community in particular? I think these are some issues that we need to address, because the provision for making taking care of the mentally ill, in the judgment of many of us, and I think it's contemplated by law as well, is a fundamental state responsibility, and to delegate that responsibility to a private organization, if it's legal to do that, should be accompanied by certain controls or standards in these areas. I think that Ricky Syke of the Arctic Alliance is the next person in Fairbanks standing by the test.
Hello, my name is Ricky Syke. Current president of the Arctic Alliance for People. I thank you for this opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 520 and 521. I believe that the need for mental health rehabilitation facilities for children and adults in the interior has been supported by all the previous testimony. It has been one of the Alliance's top priorities for the past 6 months. I'd like to discuss some of our concerns. I'd like to mention the need for thorough planning. The Arctic Alliance firmly believes that for a reasonable assessment of present needs and future needs, planning time must be allowed. Those future needs are not just needs of space, but needs in terms of treatment. There's a question of whether one facility is the best answer. Are residential facilities needed? Are institutional settings the best for all? I don't believe so. But also are concerned about the assurance of operational funds for the future. These should be based on planning and on assessed needs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Seifert, with us today. I will now ask that Alice Civic, a special education teacher, I think, for the Fairbanks North Star Borough school program, come forward if she is ready.
Hello, I'm Alice
Civic.
I'm the special management specialist for the school district. I have taught emotionally disturbed children for 9 years. I'm in support of Senate Bill 520 and 521. I would like to address part with dealing with children and adolescents. We see a great need for a residential treatment center. One-third of one class is four severely emotionally disturbed classes in the Fairbanks area. One-third of one of the classes, children are in foster homes. That is because the family cannot cope with that type of disturbance in the family. Now, these foster homes do band-aid the situation, but we need long-term planning as far as from a most restrictive environment to the least restrictive. Now, for a lot of these kids, is they are disturbed children, and they're going to turn into disturbed adults. We need to go ahead and come to long-term planning as far as trying to really serve the kids so that they, as adults, they can be productive members of society. school in 6.5 hours can only do so much. We need to go and have an area of you to work with other professionals who can provide 24-hour treatment for disturbed children. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and I believe that's correct. Thank you very much for your testimony. The next person we have is Ruth Lister with WICA. Ruth, are you available there now?
This is Ruth Lister, testifying for Women in Crisis. I'm in support of these bills, but I also wanted to express some concerns. There's an adult population which we see in WICA, which would not be classified as chronically mentally ill, and yet are not ready for independent living and would benefit greatly by a year, 6 months, say, to a year. Sometimes they have children with them. I have concern that one large facility is not necessarily the answer, and with as large an appropriation as this, would like to see the possibility both for adults and for children. We also need more transitional kind of housing to have some smaller facilities available. As expressed before, I also think that the operating costs need to be addressed, in particular in relation to children's needs. I know the hospital's proposal does not address this because they feel that they can get payment under insurance and Medicaid or third-party payment. This isn't always the case for children, and I think should be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ruth. What you're saying, in essence, is in addition to the single building that we may be talking about, we're talking about something like some homes or apartments or something added in there for the family and some of the children perhaps that have the same problems. Is that what you're referring to?
Group home kind of situation, yes.
All right, thank you very much. Leslie Salisbury, I think, yeah, is next on our listing here. Leslie, are you available now in Fairbanks?
She's coming to the microphone.
I'm Leslie Salisbury, and I've been in the state about 31 years. Raised four kids here, taught in the public schools until about 5 years ago. And as a teacher, I'm terribly aware of the needs of children. And I've had an experience myself where I went to API for a short time about a decade ago. And it was not very good for any of us to have me out of the community. So I can speak from firsthand experience that our needs would have been much better served if we had had any help locally at that time. Things are improved now. WICA is here. There are many other agencies to help many other people. But these people that we're talking about have very few sources. It is terribly necessary that they have sources close to their homes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. You make a good case there, and we appreciate your comments. We have a situation here, I think, perhaps at Diana Campbell. Diana, I believe you got a time constraint. Would you care to come up in the Fairbanks area there now and speak to us at this time and testify? I understand you do have a time constraint.
My name is Diana Campbell, and I appreciate you fitting me in since I have to leave. I'm here on behalf of my brother. He's in jail right now. He's been diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic, and I think that if he would have somewhere to go after he was released from API, like a transitional home or something, he wouldn't be in jail right now. And I feel like a lot of people that have this problem of mental illness, a lot of times they don't to the anguish that my family has felt ever since we found out that Michael was mentally ill. He was 16 years old when he was diagnosed, and he's 18 now. I guess I'd like to say that the facility is needed. There are a lot of people that are just lost, and they need this help. And I think, I guess that's what I'd like to say. Mental illness is something that I never thought that I'd have to face in my lifetime, but it happened. And when I see my brother, and he's only 18 years old, and he spent 2 years at a mental institution, he needs help, and as a and my family cannot help him. He needs someone that he needs professional people. And when we tried to find professional people in Alaska, the only choice he had was API. And then along them, they released him, and now he's in jail. And whether he's getting the help he needs in jail right now or not, I don't think so. But I just would like to voice my support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diana. Give us a good illustration of why there are those of us here that are very supportive of what we're attempting to do here. Thank you very much for your testimony. The next person we have in Fairbanks is Pauline Bennett, Alaska Occupational Therapy Association. Pauline, are you available now?
Thank you. I'm Pauline Bennett. I'm the president of the Alaska Occupational Therapy Association, and would like to express our support of the statewide mental health rehabilitation center to be located in Fairbanks. We know that many individuals in the mentally impaired population of Alaska have needs that are not currently being met, and we applaud efforts to meet those needs. At this time, there appears to be some more planning that needs to be done to coordinate services that are here. However, if we are talking about possibly doing some building in the 85 building season, I think perhaps the money needs to be appropriated with the planning being done in the next few months with some serious effort into it. As occupational therapists working in both physical and mental rehab areas, we feel that a spectrum of mental health services are needed and should be client-oriented. There's been some discussion earlier here about the variety of different kinds of patients and kinds of needs. And let's make sure that we don't make a program and then just try and fit everyone into it because we have the program or that we have a building. A commonly expressed frustration of my constituents who work with mentally impaired populations in Alaska is that they have too many patients who fall through the cracks that may no longer need the institutional replacement of API, but are unable to continue development and maintenance of skills when they're on their own. Some of these people may have a few hours of support at a community agency. However, if they begin to have a deterioration in their ability to perform activities of daily living, this may include the inability to get to and keep the appointments they have at community agencies. I also am in support of really looking at transitional housing as being a part of the spectrum of different kinds of mental health care facilities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pauline. You folks are on the front line up there with some of your therapy work that you're doing. When you speak of transitional housing, could you explain to me, I'm a kind of neophyte in this thing here, what do you mean by transitional housing?
I think there are probably some other people who will be speaking that can address this even better than myself. However, in the spectrum of mental health care, we have the acute patient that needs the strict supervision and medication found in a hospital-type situation. From that point, with various therapies, a patient may begin to learn or be rehabilitated with skills in taking care of their own personal needs. Many times, they don't have the full range of skills to take care of
other parts of their care program, whether that be at a community mental health agency or what. From there, potentially, a person could move into an even less structured living situation where they still might have some support. Eventually, through this system, patients that have mental illnesses that are eligible for rehabilitation, and I don't think this is every type of patient that we have, may then actually become independent, have gained the skills they need to continue to live independently in the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I believe I understand that a little better now. And it's about what I anticipated. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll go now to Marty Craner.
Please approach the mic. This is Marty Craner. I'm currently the acting director of Fairbanks Community Mental Health Center, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of Senate Bill 520 and 521. I think I can say without reservation that certainly our agency is in support of providing a larger continuum of mental health services than we have been able to in the past. I would like to express a few concerns which have been expressed before, and one of those concerns has to do with an issue which was brought up as to whether or not such a facility could actually be maintained in the private sector. In some ways, I can appreciate the concerns about that, and I think what we have looked at is that possibly one aspect of the population to be served by this facility could maintain the facility in a relatively self-supporting way. We are certainly supportive of having a community-based facility. However, we also recognize the need that for most children and adolescents, there needs to be operating costs included, because that population very frequently is not able to provide the revenue necessary to support a comprehensive treatment program. At this point, we feel that there is a need for certainly some increased planning to go into this. It's happened rather quickly, and the plans that have been put together, while I think they address basically the need, have not been refined. However, you know, I think our agency certainly is in support of attempting to provide as broad a continuum of services as possible through this facility or facility. Thank you.
Says they need psychiatric beds out of API. You mean to a less restrictive environment?
To a less adult environment, particularly in the maternal population than is in API.
To a less adult environment given the nature of some of the criminal forensic population. Okay, B.J. Staley of the Fairbanks Crisis Foundation. I mean,
one moment. Greater need, and I fully support both of them.
Kathy Witzel there?
Yes, one moment.
Serve Fairbanks residents or would be required by contract or terms of its grant to receive people from Nome and Barrow and Minto and Anderson and Healy and all the rest of it?
We presently receive patients from Nome, Barrow, all of the Yukon villages, and the Fairbanks Mental Health Center serves people that go anywhere from Delta all the way down to Denali Park and north to the Yukon. The northern area is served by Barrow Region. And I'm also.
All right. Is Al Aaron there? And does he wish to speak?
He does not wish to speak at this time. May we go to Blanche Brunk?
You may go to Blanche Brunk.
Need to be around their support system, and I would advocate
you, Ms. Brunk. I might say to the people in Fairbanks that Senator Herenkamp has joined us at this point and is available to listen to additional testimony. I would recall to you, Ms. Brunk, that as I said at the outset, Senator Herenkamp noted the importance of approaching this proper planning and to sit down after we take the testimony and assimilate our views to give people adequate input. I'll ask Senator Herenkamp if she has any comments to offer at this time to the people in Fairbanks.
Well, all the people in Fairbanks, I think, know me well enough to know, including the last witness, that under no circumstances do I feel that any evidence will solve the problem. It's what goes on with that, I feel they will do that. And I think one of the reasons that I ask the legislature's time, the time we have experience, Mr. Chairman, is so that we can take a real good look at the type of program that is not being supplied in the state that's needed in the state. And certainly we will be asking the legislature to test part of the area and ask them to have a concern to help us as we go forward with this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Patty Castella, I think, is standing by to give the next testimony.
She has decided not to testify right now, sir.
Very well. Is Phyllis Vannersdale there?
Yes, one moment. My name is Phyllis Vannersdale, and I'm here as a consumer today. I am active in several mental health organizations. However, today I wish to speak as a consumer. I've lived in Fairbanks 10 years. 8 of those years were with a mentally ill person in our family. And 8 to 10 years ago, my son was one of those that fell through the cracks. We approached every agency in town for help. And the most help that we got was being able to transport him to an increase to ATI. And when he would come home, there were no support services for him. There were many agencies in town, but people that have chronic mental illness were not treated at any of the agencies here that treat other emotionally disturbed people. So he was one of those that fell through the cracks. I feel very strongly about Senate Bill 520 and 521. That it will serve people that up to this time have not been served, nor are they being served at this time, only in a very minimal capacity. I hope that you will find that most people have done much thinking and planning, even without a bill having been introduced in the legislature. I belong to a family group that has been planning for over a year. And so I know there's a lot of concern about planning for this particular project, and I can assure you that the people who are directly involved are the families and most concerned with the type of treatment program that we have. And we have done a great deal of planning, and I'm sure that will come through if this bill is passed. They will come through and volunteer any of the plans that they have come up with. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your sharing that with us. Is Martin Wubbo there?
Yes, he's approaching the mic.
Guy Patterson available, excuse me, Guy, in Fairbanks.
such ignorance. The haste with which this proposal was put together belies the importance we in the Fairbanks community give such a project. Today's testimony indicates two things. One, facility is needed in the Fairbanks community, and two, that the size and concern of this project warrants further planning. I support a year-long moratorium on construction while planning occurs. I feel that no ground should be broken until all concerned parties are involved. However, I'd like to add that I am somewhat concerned that during this planning session, we not lose the opportunity and that the funds are lost during the planning. Thank you very much for letting me testify today.
Thank you, Guy. I will call on Tom Moyer. Tom is ago.
Apparently, we have to leave, sir.
All right. Is Ann DiNardo there?
Yes, she's approaching the mic. This is Ann DiNardo, and I'm with the Fairbanks Alliance for the Mentally Ill, FAMI. FAMI supports the concept of facilitation centers with a living component, but only for the northern region. We feel that the concept of a statewide facility is just a little bit archaic. Reaching into the community is much more up to date. Premature discharge from the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, the API, into an unprepared community has really created a social disaster. Without basic life support systems, patient survival in a community is absolutely marginal at best. So the need for long-term treatment has exceeded the service capacity of Alaska's mental health system. In concert with this, we'd also seek an adequate long-term living facility, the entire concept to be developed towards quality care. We feel emphasis should be placed on the patient's rights and the family rights, so the family is being viewed as an integral part of the treatment process, not as obstacles to effective treatment. Considering our meeting, discharge planning at the API, you soon understand the planner's dilemma because there are too few resources, they're too fragmented, and worst of all, and this is extremely important, there's no part of the system that takes ultimate responsibility for the discharge patient. So far, that unsought role has been assumed by the family. Following conditions we feel are of unquestioned value in promoting mental health, and they constitute basic components of any effective program. One is a continuum of housing with proper supervision and support. Two is a constructive day activity, whether it's a low-stress job, training, or a supportive daycare program. Three is medical care, dental care. Four, crisis intervention. Five, a social network. Six, income. And again, seven, of utmost importance, the core service agency that takes the ultimate responsibility when any of these six components fall apart or when the client has a relapse or just disappears from sight. We can view the Greater Fairbanks City Hospital Foundation proposal as addressing the need for a core service agency. It should do what the parents typically do until they die, and that is be the place where the buck stops. Place that assumes full responsibility when anything goes wrong. It's not a 9-to-5 job. They mean that once a client comes into their system, the agency retains a lifelong responsibility for that client. Alumni groups would assure that ex-residents could come back from varying levels of support. There should be follow-up, outreach should be created, including when necessary, a mobile team that carries treatment to the client wherever he or she is, whether it's at home crowded in a corner or under a bridge, or but go and find the patient. We'd look to the core service agency to work much more closely with families, which are now performing the core service role. An effective volunteer program would draw from the community, thus integrating and educating the two communities, that is, facilities, with the public. We don't have to look back and make a study of the needs of the target population, because the needs are readily identifiable and are consistent throughout the nation. Complete studies are online and available to us. Great institutions of learning have already established research centers for rehabilitation and training in mental health. Boston University is one of them. They have such a center, and it should be kept for their expertise. In fact, the director of that program, Dr. William Anthony, will be the keynote speaker and coordinator
and I think probably every Alaskan legislator should be required to attend that conference. I think Alaska is about 15 years behind in mental health delivery systems. And here we really have the most exciting opportunity to take the best, to learn from the mistakes, and much more to forge ahead with new concepts. We have an opportunity here to create the most innovative program with the expertise that we have stacked right here in this room, which it could be a mixture of private governmental agencies, and I don't believe that's ever happened in any other state. And that even could include the Department of Corrections. I just feel vision that if I were a bird flying 200 feet above the system, the mental health system and the Department of Corrections, I think I'd have trouble distinguishing the two. So I think the two could easily be brought together, this mixture of private governmental agencies, but always with consumer at the forefront rather than the enhancement of any one segment of the program. During our hearings on Senate Bill 346, I suggested to this head committee a hearing with consumers at API. This was not a frivolous suggestion on my part, because the tools for recovery from mental illness are within the patient. We all need to be sensitized to that. Marcia Lovejoy is a restored mental patient. She describes herself as, quote, not being a practicing schizophrenic at this time. She also will be a guest speaker at this Region 10 conference in Anchorage. She should be heard by everyone interested in rehabilitating the mentally ill. These are the resources that are to be tapped. They're already online. They don't have to be studied. I think I pretty well covered it. Probably got way beyond my time. But with accountability and with monitoring procedures built into its program, we view the proposal of giving Community Hospital Foundation as a commitment to this ultimate responsibility into the long-term living problem and rehabilitation possibilities of our chronically mentally ill citizens. And I thank you all for allowing the family this short input. And thank you, Betty.
Nice to hear from you, Anne. Hope you have the good work. Is there anyone else in Fairbanks who has not testified or wishes to testify?
No, everybody else is up there. Thank you.
Is there anyone in Healy or Anderson who desires to testify who has not testified?
You want me to try Kayleen, Judy, and something like that?
Hearing none, we will adjourn the teleconference with our thanks, and our next procedures will involve referring Senator Fahrenkamp and members of the administration and staff and members of the committee to determine further topics in SB 520 and 521.
This concludes the teleconference. Thank you.